Years ago, my son and I went camping. The first time ever going camping, father and son. One of those moments you share, right? We went out, and he wasn't pumped because it's hard to sell sleeping on the ground to a young kid. It's going to be great, I swear. So we go. And we're not a big camping family, so I went out and I bought kind of a janky jank tent. Because I'm like, I don't need to buy a good tent if I'm not going to camp very much. We go out to the sand dunes out of northern Michigan. Even better near some sand dunes, and we set up our camp, and me and my little boy are in our tent together. And in the middle of the night, a storm rolls in. I awoke because the tent is moving. And I hear people laughing all around me because there's probably 20 of us out there, and this thing is on us. I mean, it is, the wind is blowing, the rain is coming down, and my boy is wide awake. He's like, Dad, I'm like, dude, we're fine. We're in this tent. We're safe from the elements. This storm had other plans for us, though. As that wind beat against this tent, I was not prepared. I bought a cheap tent. And as this thing whipped around, one of the big cross beams snapped of the tent. And all of a sudden, it just fell in all on us. You ever been in a tent that collapses? That vinyl, when it's wet, it's sticky. And the wind just rips it. I literally stand up, grab the broken piece, and try to hold it. So the tent that was once big is now small. The vinyl side just slapping us around. And Nesto's like, Dad, I'm like, it's going to be fine. And dude, when the vinyl hits you, when it's wet, it drips. So it's dripping, raining. It was a nightmare. It was 25 minutes of just, are we going to die? In my head, I was like, are we going to die? Like, I didn't know. I'm not a camper. When it all ended, we went outside. Every other tent was still standing. They weren't wet. They were like, oh, that was crazy. And I'm like, crazy, that was awful. And we've never been camping again. True story. Oh, you were there. It was crazy. That was a crazy storm, dude. In this story Christ tells, it's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Christ has preached this massive sermon, and he brings his sermon to an end with this story. There are two people in the story, and there are two ends. One person goes to the storm, and their house, the end of it, it stands strong, and they are safe. But the other person, their house, it says, it falls, and great is the fall of it. I imagine hearing this sermon out loud, you think to yourself, well, I know who I want to be. I want to be in the house that doesn't fall down, obviously. I don't want to be pushed over, to be destroyed. The question is, what's the difference between these two people? Why does one guy's house fall and the other one doesn't? First, some similarities. The first similarities are easy to see. The wise and the foolish. The foolish and the wise both go through the storm. Let's start there. Coming to church on Sunday, we come. Even come to church is to admit, I have need. Like, coming to church is saying, there's something I need in the world that I can't find outside of this community of Christ's followers. I come with my baggage, with my hurt. I come freely confessing, I don't have it all together, and so I'm here. To come to church is a humble act in a lot of ways. And coming here, we've all these troubles, all these hurts, all these anxieties and fears. And you know what we would love? We would love some preacher man to tell us it's going to be okay. Give me a simple answer. Tell me why these bad things are going to go away. And as a pastor, I'm tempted to give the people what they want. To say some simple line about Jesus. Some people do say the simple things. People say things like, if you come to Jesus, you'll never have money problems. They say, if you come to Jesus, you'll never have health problems. If you come to Jesus, you'll get a get-out-of-jail-free card, and you won't go through suffering. And preachers promise this. And people go, well, I want me some of that. I want some of this no-suffering life. I'm with Jesus. The only problem is, no preacher can promise, can they? Because the storm hits everybody. The storm hits everybody. There is no way to avoid the losses we will go through in this life. We lose people. People leave us. People we thought would never, ever go. Friends say, I'm not your friend anymore. Spouses say, I don't love you. And I'm done. The storms Christ talks about are the sufferings we go through in life, and they fall upon everybody. There is no secret to avoid pain. Pain is part of the story. We live in a world that has been broken by sin, and until Christ returns, we're in it. We're in it. We will love and we will lose. We will fail people that we care the most about. We will fail ourselves. We will fall back into old addictions. We will give space to the worst things within us. The storm comes for everyone. We love to say, not me, Lord. Did Jesus dodge the storm? No. Jesus suffered more than any would ever known. Christ, who was innocent of all crimes, found guilty in a court of law, charged for no crime, but condemned to die. If he asked the judge, what's my crime? There'd be nothing there because they found him guilty of nothing. Still, they crucified him. Abandoned by his friends, who ran and hid when things got hard. Alone in the world to face pain. Mocked and ridiculed upon the cross, Jesus Christ, he suffered. His followers, Peter and John and Matthew, even Thomas, these guys love Jesus. They live for Jesus. John, one of the best dudes ever. Jesus tells the apostle John, John, take care of my mama when I die. Take care of my mama when I go to heaven. John's like, I got her. That's my mama right there. Church history tells us the apostle John does not leave Jerusalem until Mary dies. He stays there to care for her as though she's his own mama. You know what happens to John, this good man who did good things? Nero took that man, submerged him in boiling wax to make him into a human candle. And they pulled him out, and he wasn't dead. That's a bad day. Like he's like, why am I not dead? Oh, like, I mean, that's a bad day. 30-degree burns over your entire body, you're not dead. And he's sent to the island of Patmos where he writes Revelation. It's why in paintings of John, John's always an old man because he's the only apostle who actually grows old. The rest are killed. So many of Christ's followers die for following Jesus. The word for Christ's follower, the definition changes. Christ said, you will be my witnesses. And the Greek word for witness is martyo. And the word witness becomes the word martyr. Someone who dies for their beliefs. Following Jesus is not a get-out-of-jail-free card for pain. If a preacher ever tells you that, he's lying to you. I know that health and wealth gospel sells, because who doesn't want money and who doesn't want health? But that's not, God does not promise that to us. The storm is going to come. It's going to crash against our lives. That's a guarantee. There are good seasons. Thank God for them. Here's the fact. I always tell people this. Whatever intensity of love you know in this life is only matched by the loss of when they're gone. You know? The storm. Both the fool and the wise person face the storm. What else is the same between these two people? Jesus says, if you hear these words of mine and live by them, like a wise man. Or, if you hear these words of mine and don't live by them, you're a foolish man. Guess what? They both hear the words. Both the foolish and the wise hear the words of Jesus. They're there on the Sermon on the Mount. They're on this big hill. Christ is teaching them. And some people hear these words of Christ, hear this wisdom, hear this revelation, and they go home unchanged by them. There are people who will be literally healed miraculously of diseases, and they'll go home and never follow Christ again. There are people who the Lord changes everything, and tomorrow they forget. Here in America, we are blessed. We have great teachers all around us. We have podcasts of incredible communicators who they can sit and preach. We listen to great preachers. I went to Barnes & Noble's on Friday, and I always go to the religious section. There are great books there by great authors, smart people writing great books. We are inundated with good stuff and good words. Hearing is not enough. Years ago, my wife and I were down in Texas or Florida or Louisiana, somewhere. While we're down there on vacation, a storm was born in the Gulf. And they named it Ernesto. Hurricane Ernesto. And I was kind of pumped because in the northern world, in the white world, Ernesto's not a common name. I thought to myself, if this storm comes, does a lot of damage, everyone will know how to spell my name from now on. It'll be great. Alas, this storm fizzled out in the Gulf and caused no damage to anybody. That doesn't always happen, though. Sometimes the storm comes ashore. And when those bad boys, they in the ocean, when they see it build up, the storm watchers watch them. As they get closer, they start giving warnings. They start saying to people, mandatory evacuation, get out. They start saying, if you're going to stay, have potable water. Fill your bathtub up with water so you can flush your toilet with a bucket. They tell you things to do. You hear all these warnings. But inevitably, on the news, there's always going to be some random person who's like, I lived here my whole life. I ain't going nowhere, right? They always tell me to leave. Nothing ever happens until, guess what? Something happens. There's this scene in a movie. It's called Signs. It's an alien movie about faith. Kind of scary. It's pretty great. I actually watched this movie with the college kids. There's a bunch of college kids that sit here in front row at first service. We came over one day for a movie night. We watched this movie. Those college kids were so funny. They were so scared to watch that movie. Like, they were like, oh, oh, oh. I'm like, dude, you're a grown man. Don't scream like this. It's a really good movie. We're watching this movie, Signs. And the aliens come, and they're around the house trying to get in. And it's really scary. And the father says this line that it's never left my imagination. The camera zooms in on the father's face, and he says, I'm not ready. He knew it was coming. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't ready. Hearing about God, being near people who love God. Listening to Christian music on your radio station. Apparently hearing is not enough to keep your house from falling down. So what's the difference? These houses that fall, it represents their lives. One person's life gets destroyed. The other person's life survives the storm. How come one person makes it and one person's life doesn't? The answer is so subtle. Listen, everyone who hears these words of mine and lives by them is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not live by them, they're a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The difference between the foolish and the wise is obedience. Obedience. Who listened to what Christ actually said? There's a joke I tell sometimes. You ask me, what is it like being a pastor? What is it like being a pastor? Well, being a pastor is always speaking and no one ever listens. That's what I always say. People come and ask for counsel, Pastor, what should I do? Don't do that thing. Okay, thank you. Then go do that thing. Sadly, one of the things in life that's hard is I have a front row seat to watch people blow their lives up. Because some storms come out of nowhere. Some storms just happen. COVID hit all of us. There's other storms of our own making. We spend the money we don't have and we know it. We date someone we know is no good for us. There are things we do that we know. Yes, no. One of my classic go-to stupid thing I do in my life is I eat cereal at 10 p.m., even though I'm lactose intolerant. That's a dumb thing to do. I know how this story goes. And still, I'm just like, Cocoa Pebbles in the house, and I'm going. See about Lucky Charms the other day. Lucky Charms, I haven't had those marshmallows in years. Let's go. Ate half the box at one sitting. At 3 a.m., I wake up. And my stomach is full of sour. And I'm like, why did I do this? Not being silly, but some of the storms in our lives are of our own creation. We make these decisions and they blow up in our face and cause so much hurt and so much damage and so much chaos. I have to watch people I love keep putting their hand in the fire and wondering why they get burned. I'm just one small pastor in a small little town. God Almighty, who loves us so much, has told us so much wisdom, and he watches us just constantly hurt ourselves. Constantly just not listening to his teaching at all and just running out there. We're like Frogger running out in the street and cars just running us over day after day after day. Jesus cannot merely be a good luck charm for us. Hearing about him is not enough. There's this cartoon I watched when I was a kid called Peanuts. Charlie Brown. Great cartoon. Charlie Brown, lovable loser, you know. Lucy, the beloved bully. He had Pigpen, which is like, don't be the sticky kid at school. That's what you learn from that kid. There was a kid named Linus, and Linus had this blanket. And that was his, like, his good, that was his comfort. That was his, like, his, what do you call those dogs that are, like, make you happy? Emotional support dog. That's an emotional, Linus's blanket was his emotional support animal. That thing, if he had that blanket, he felt like he was okay. If I have my blankie, I'm safe in the world. And a lot of us treat Jesus like that blanket. I grab it when I'm scared, but if things aren't bad, I don't need it. Jesus is more than our emergency blankie. He He invites us. So there's a word we use if we follow Jesus. People ask the question, are you a believer in Jesus? That's not the word the Bible uses for the followers of Christ. The word used in the Bible is disciple. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Disciple means someone who follows. Do you follow the man? Does he have the authority to tell you what to do? When I was a kid, the teachers had authority over me, didn't they? When you're a kid, the teachers can tell you what to do. When I was a kid, growing up going to Flint schools, when I was at Sobey, which is right there, but it's gone now, the teacher could paddle us up to second grade. That teacher that was there, that teacher, Mrs. Ward, paddled me something fierce, dude. I remember her, she had three fingers on one of her hands, and she'd be like, "Woo!" And I was like, "She's gonna get me." Teachers, I'd obey teachers. And I got older, you worked a job, your boss commands you, you had to obey. You pulled over by a cop, I gotta pull over. Then I grew up, and now I'm a grown man. I guess I can talk trash. Like, I got a boss, grown man. It ain't true. If you are a disciple of Christ, you still got a boss. And he can tell you what to do. He can say, put that money down. He can say, take a crap job, stay in that town, serve those people. He can say, back off that friendship, it's bad for your soul. He can say things, and our response should be, yes, Lord. Sometimes it's hard to say, yes, Lord. Submitting is tough. Obedience is tough. Sometimes it hurts to lay things down. I remember one day, we were newly married. We didn't make much money. I bought a brand new Apple computer. It was one of those all-in-one screens that came. I bought it online, came in the mail. Angie walked in. It was sitting on our apartment, sitting on the, like, kitchen counter. She walked in, I'm like, look at that, babe. Look at that thing. And she's like, can we afford that? I was like, look at it. It's so beautiful. And she just goes to her room. And I'm looking at it. I was like, I know we can't afford it. I didn't ask my wife before I bought it. And I was like, I don't want to pray about this. I know what God's going to say. So I pray. I'm like, Lord, what do I do? And it was just like, send it back. That hurt. Put it back in the box. Seal it back up. Mail it back to Apple. It hurts to be obedient. It hurts to do what's right sometimes. It's hard to forgive people who hurt you. Turn the other cheek. It is hard to share what we have with others. It is hard to submit to the Lord. Here at Flint City Church, we say we speak Jesus. We speak the gospel. We serve Flint. We seek the peace of our city. And we obey the King. Because Jesus is our King. And here's the reality. How can we change the world? How do we change the world? I got to quote the King of Pop. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. Christ says we change the world by living according to his teaching. And as we live by Christ's teaching, we bring his kingdom into the world. When I receive evil and give good back, the kingdom comes. It floods into reality. You come to our little house on Blanchard Avenue, it's a little outpost of heaven right here on earth. And everyone inside that house is submitted to the authority of King Jesus. And our obedience is a light. Because in a real way, as disciples, we are a city in a city. Christ said to those of us who are disciples, you are the light of the world, a city a hill that cannot be hidden. As we follow Jesus, we shine in a dark world. People put on the stickers on these cars, and the sticker says, no one can judge me but God. It's supposed to be like a You can't judge me. But the second part is more true than the first part. God does judge. He is patient. He is loving. He is kind. But he still says, this is the way. Will you listen? And so I encourage us to stay very simple. Build your house upon the rock. Build your house upon the rock. So when the storm comes, when the rains fall, the winds blow, and the river rises and beat against your life, it will not fall, for it has been founded upon the rock. I tell couples sometimes in counseling that when the storm hits, one of two things will happen. Either it'll push you together or push you apart. It depends on the kind of marriage you built before the storm hits. I'm not saying you gotta be perfect. Listen, I say this out loud so we all know. You can be a disobedient butthead of a kid and the Lord will still love you. My kids whom I love, they can be buttheads to me. They're still my daughter, they're still my son. Straight up, I love them. And give me, my daughter has, she has looks that can kill. I'm like, do this chore. And I was like, hey! I'm just cheap. She can just wipe me out with a look. But I'm not here to be her friend. I'm here to be her dad. You know what I'm saying? So I hold the line. Go to a room and cry. But so my kids can disobey me, and I still love them. But it wounds my heart. And it hurts their life, doesn't it? I remember my son, I used to tell my boy all the time, don't go in the street. And he thought it was a game. Because he'd run for the street, and I'd go grab him. And he'd laugh. He thought it was a racing game. But I'm like, there are things in that street bigger than your dad. And they will wipe me out. And one day, he's in the road. And there's a car coming. And so I have some pipes in here. I turn on my furious anger super voice. I'm like, Ness, don't get out of there. I just scream, dude. I mean, a epic roar, dude. Like, I mean, he's crying before he's out of there. He's like, oh, I thought you loved it. It's out of the road. Car doesn't hit him. Praise the Lord. And I'm like, I love you. I'm sorry. There was a car. She's going to smoke you. I'm not saying if you're disobedient, you're going to go to hell. I'm not saying that. If you've been washed in the blood, heaven is your home. But I am saying to you, if you choose to walk, if you choose to live in this world and do things your way, you're going to be constantly rebuilding your life. It gets knocked down time and time and time again. And you'll miss out on all the blessings God intended for you because you're so hard-headed, you won't do what he says. There's a better way to live as a disciple. Obey him. He's saying there are cars in the street, and we're like, no, there's not. Obey the king. He's smarter than us. His way is better than our way. Rains will fall, and the wind will blow, and the river will rise, and your life will not fall, because it has been founded upon the rock. Let us pray together. Father, it is a tough message, because some part of us wants to obey, some part of us wants to do what you say, but some part of us likes sin. We like to be mean. We like to get wasted. We like to be dumb. And you call us this other path, and we're at war within ourselves. Lord, be patient with us. Have mercy on us. Lord, put in us a strong desire to live this life your way, not our own. Help us to obey you, great King Jesus. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen.